Turn in your Bible this morning, if you would, to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. I've been studying another passage of Scripture this past week, but I really feel like this is the way the Lord would have us to go. And just have a couple of serious questions that I hope the Lord would challenge our hearts with today, as He already has mine. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, if we could, when you found your places. Father, we bow before You, thankful for this day and for Your blessings. We thank You for allowing us to stand and preach today. And Lord, we just ask, God, that You would just move and work among us, that You would speak to me and through me. Lord, You know the burden of my heart this morning, and I just pray that You would accomplish Your will. I pray that every one of us, God, would be shaken and awakened today. Lord, that You would do that in our hearts that needs to be done. Would You draw us to Yourself? Would You send revival in our midst? God, would You help us, Lord, to repel the attacks of Satan upon us? And I pray that our eyes would be lifted up unto Thee today. God, that we'd get above the circumstances. I know there are folks suffering this morning. Lord, there's a lot of questions in a lot of our minds concerning the events of these past days. But God, I pray that You would just help today, Lord, to get us focused where we need to be. Please, Lord, inspect our hearts. Help us to be open and honest before You this morning. And God, accomplish Your perfect will, and we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm chapter 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I guess I should say this before I continue. This psalm in my Bible, it has the heading, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. This psalm, from what I have read, may be an account of Moses and the children of Israel as they wandered and died in the wilderness. So keep that in mind as you're reading down through here with me. Here they are wandering in the wilderness. There's folks dying all around them. They have rejected the will of God. They did not enter into Canaan land because of unbelief. And now God is killing out the crowd that would not go in, but bucked against Him and wouldn't believe Him. And now here is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, concerning that whole situation. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return ye children of men. That's what they're seeing now in their day-to-day life. They're seeing the destruction of God upon the lives of those who wouldn't go into Canaan land. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. In other words, time means nothing to God. Time is just here and it's gone. In respect of eternity, the time, the 1,000 years even, the time in which we live is just a speck. But what He's saying is, even 1,000 years is like yesterday that's already gone. How quick did yesterday pass for us all? He goes on to say, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sheep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. We are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. That is 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that is 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I'll stop reading there. This message has been given to me, I guess, or it's been put upon my heart by the events of this past week. I'll tell you a little bit more about them at the end of the message, but I'll just say this. My Aunt Jeanette passed away on my step aunt on Friday, but we got to visit with her on last Sunday, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Yesterday, and I don't mean to bring fresh heartaches up to the family, but we got the call about Mandy, they called her, who passed away of a massive heart attack suddenly and left a husband and a child behind. I've been in contact with an individual who has been suicidal this past week. And these things, even as I went to bed last night and as soon as I woke up this morning, the thoughts that I'm going to give you today, or at least one, and I don't think it'll take me long. I know I've preached out of this text before. I've used it in funerals, but these thoughts keep coming to my mind based on things that I witnessed. And I promise you this, I'm probably around death more than anybody else in this building. I probably go to the bedside of dying individuals and deal with it, other than maybe some nurses that we would have. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Pooh and the line she's in is around a lot. But I have been around in my 20-something years of ministry. I've been around a lot of people that were at their deathbed and seen a lot of sad circumstances. And so I'd like to preach today on this thought. What are we thinking? What are we thinking? What is on our mind when it comes to our life and death and eternity and things that we face in life? What are we thinking? To begin with, I'd like to ask this question, and I'm just going to use two verses this morning primarily. Number one, what are we doing? Verse number 9. He says this. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That is telling us what we are doing. You and I are spending our years. And we could ask a few questions concerning that. I've given you these before, I think. Who does it? The Bible says we spend our years. In other words, I can't spend your years for you. You're spending your own year. I wish I could spend some years for other individuals. I think I could make some more wise decisions than I've seen some folks make in days gone by. And I'm sure that my parents could have looked at me and said, I wish I could have spent some of those teenage years for him, because they could have made better decisions for me than I made for myself. Matter of fact, if I could go back, I think I could make some wiser decisions than I did. Couldn't you? But I have spent those years, and I spent them. I have nobody to blame but myself. What years of mine that have been wasted and lived in folly and following after the pleasures of sin and the flesh and that sort of thing. I am the one that's going to be held accountable. I'm the one that spent those years. I did it. Nobody else can affect your walk with God but you. Nobody else to blame but yourself. It's okay that we spend it, because it's our years that we're spending. I don't know that you would want me to spend your years. I might not be as careful with your years as I am with mine. You know how children are. You take a $20 bill to town. You know what it takes to earn that $20 bill. You're going to be more careful about spending that $20 than you are giving it to your child. Because it's your $20, it's your hard-earned, it's your sweat and blood and tears has been put into earning that, and so they don't appreciate it as much as you do. And when it comes to our years, I couldn't spend your years like you can. You better recognize, and I better recognize, that we have got something that is fleeting, that is passing away. And the Bible is talking about the time of life here, and that the fact that we are spending it, in other words, our average time of life is around 70 years. And if we, by reason of strength, make it to 80 years, or 90 years, or 100 years old, what is that in respect to eternity? What is done? We spend, the word means to end, it means to cease, it means to accomplish, to wholly reap. It also means to, can mean to waste. You know what? There's some important things about spending. First of all, it can only be done one time. When you spend a day or you spend a year, you've spent it. You can't get it back. It's only done one time. It may or may not bring a return when you spend something. And then also, unlike money, you can hang on to money forever, but you're going to spend your time whether you like it or not. You can spend your time sitting down. You can spend your time standing up. You can spend your time in the closet, on the ball field, at church, or wherever, but you're going to spend your time. You can't save it. It's passing. Then what is it that we're spending? We're spending our years. Let's say we have 70 years. 70 years to some of you may seem like a long time. When I talk to some of these young folks and ask them, does 70 years seem like a long time? Does a 70-year-old person seem like an older person to you? These young folks would say, yeah, that's a long time. But you ask me and it's not near as old as it used to be and it's not near as long as I thought it was. If I live to be 70, I've already spent over half of my life. I've already spent over half of my years. 70, when we think about it, seems like a long time, but what if it was $70? How long would it take you to spend $70? In this society, it wouldn't take very long to spend 70 bucks, would it? But I'll tell you what, your time on this earth, your years that you've been allotted, they're going by quicker than you realize probably. Our years are far more valuable than money. The fewer we have of something, the more valuable it should be. Money can be replaced. Precious jewels can be replaced. But your years can never be replaced. He said we are spending our years. And the second thing he said was as a tale that is told. You know what we're doing in essence with our life? We're telling a tale. What's been going through my mind is, what kind of tale are we telling? Your life is telling a story. It's telling a tale. You can go study the life of men like Abraham in the Bible, and you can read through their lives, and you can see that their life tells a tale that they believed God. And you can go study that in the book of Hebrews. It tells us, by faith Abraham did these things. By faith Noah did these things. By faith all of these men, Moses did these things, and the children of Israel did these things. Hey, their lives told a tale. It told a story. But what does our life tell? I have no idea what's doing that. Except the devil. Can you tell me? What is your life telling today? What kind of story is it saying to those around you? What does your life tell to those, to your children? What does it tell to your parents? What does it tell to those you work with? What is your life saying? Somebody says, well, my life is saying, I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. My life says, I love Jesus. My life says, my world revolves around the things of God. My heart is fixed upon the Lord. My eyes are set upon Him. I'm running my course. I'm trying to finish my race in this life. I'm trying to fight the good fight. That's the story my life is telling. Is that the tale your life's telling? Does your life tell the story that you love the world and the things that are in this world? That you'd rather have the things of the world and the popularity of men and the praise of men rather than the praises of God and to be right with God? What kind of tale is your life telling? In other words, your life says to those around you what's important. Our life to our children, our life shows our children what's really important in life. And I'm going to tell you something. I've not got down to where I want to be yet, but these truths have been driven home to me as I have seen a husband and child and brother and family and a person on their deathbed as they have been dying. And I've seen the impact. And I mean, it's fresh on my heart. What is our life saying to those around us? Our life so many times and the things that we do, it says that, hey, this is important and this is important and that's important. But really, when it's our time to leave here, are they really that important?
Wow. Come on, brother.
That's what we are doing. We are spending our years and we're telling a tale. But now I want to ask the question, what should we be doing? Verse number 12 tells us. First thing we ought to do, we should be asking. He is praying to the Lord and he's saying, Lord, teach us to number our days. We should be asking the Lord to help us count every single day and to see the value of that day and to understand that every minute that we have, every day we have, every year we have is a precious gift of God. And one of these days they're all going to be gone because we are spending them. I guarantee you, if I were to go through the congregation and talk to Steve and David and Sonia, some of these family members, and Lance and Lee and other ones, and ask them, have they not thought about what I've been thinking about since the tragedy that took place yesterday? Have we not all stepped back and said, man, I need to hug my wife another time. I need to let my children know that I love them, because it might just be that tomorrow they'll be gone or I'll be gone. Boast not thyself of the morrow. That's been going through my mind. Boast not thyself of the morrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow holds.
Amen.
We should be saying, Lord, please help me to number my days. God, help me to take care of today and cherish today and the time that I have today, because we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? We're spending them day by day. Are we wasting them? Are we investing them? What kind of tale are we telling? But I want to ask the question as well. Are we asking God, Lord, help me to number my days? I preached a message along these lines, and if I'm not mistaken, I had a box on the pulpit in the old church, and I had little tickets. I can't remember if I was drawing them out or putting them in, but I think I was drawing them out and drawing these boxes out, and you get a whole day here, and you get another whole day, and you get another day, and you get another day, but sooner or later, you're going to draw out a half a day or a fourth of a day. How precious is every day when you know you're drawing them out, you're spending them, and you have to. You can't stop time. You can't roll back time. You can't go back. You can't slow it down. Every day you're drawing out a day and another day. How precious those become when you don't know how many's left in the box. How precious is today to you? I guarantee you one thing. The day after my mama died, I wished I could have went back and cherished the day before a little bit better. Don't you? Don't you wish you could have went back and cherished that day before or the day before that? All of the time growing up that I could have took more time. I could have done this. I could have done that. But I spent those days and now I wish I could take them back and re-spend them, but I can't. You know what he said? You better number your day. We better ask God this morning. Every person in this building should be asking God, Lord, help me to cherish this day. You know what's been on my mind, my heart? You know, a lot of things around my house, a lot of the things that we squabble and fuss over, they don't mean a hill of beans. I've heard of a church split just recently that split over something that didn't really mean a hill of beans. It's everywhere. Have you ever had a fuss and then a week later you look back on it and think, that was just so stupid. I just can't believe that we got all bent out of shape and hollered at each other over something so stupid. What's it really going to matter in eternity? What's it going to matter when you draw your last half day? We should be saying, God, please help us to number our days. Listen to what one man said. The Bible says this was preached to the late Price Henry some few days before his death. Here's what it says. The time of our life is 70 years, saith Moses. Or setteth it upon the tenders and rack it to 80. Though not one in every 80 arrives to that account, yet can we not be said to live so long? For take out first 10 years for infancy and childhood, which Solomon calls the time of wantonness and vanity in Ecclesiastes 11. Wherein we scarce remember what we did or whether we lived or not. And how short is it then? Take away 10 years for childhood, we don't even remember most of that. And then he goes on to say, take out of the remainder a third part for sleep. So take out another 20 years or so, or 15 to 20 years, for what time we spend sleeping. He goes on to say, wherein like blocks we lie senseless, and how short is it then? Take out yet besides the time of our carking and worldly care, wherein we seem both dead and buried in the affairs of the world, and how short is it then? In other words, take out all that time that we wasted on this world and the things that we thought were important but weren't really. Then how short is it then? He goes on to say, and take out yet besides our times full of willful sinning and rebellion, for while we sin, we live not, but we are dead in sin. And what remaineth of life? Yea, how short is it then? So short that is that life which nature allows, and yet we sleep away part and play away part, and the cares of the world have a great part, so that the true spiritual and the Christian life have little or nothing in the end. That's serious business. You know what we should be doing? Lord, help me to number my days. The second thing we should be doing is applying our hearts unto wisdom, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know what I think the gist of that is? That we might set the right value on things in our life. That's really what wisdom is about when it's talking about our life. It's setting the right value on the things that are in our life. Setting the right value on our family. Setting the right value on our friends. Setting the right value on our faith. Setting the right value on our job. Setting the right value on every aspect of our lives. And you realize when part of that gets out of whack, when we put too much value on things that don't really matter, that's not wise. But when we set the right value on every aspect of our life, that is the time that we are applying our hearts unto wisdom. And that's when we're going to start making right decisions. That's when we're going to start acting right and reacting right to things that come our way. Only when we are setting the right value on things. Now, I titled the message, What Are We Thinking? What are we thinking? If we were to go through our lives and our look over our whole life, and we were to ask ourselves, what was I thinking at that moment? What was I thinking when I made that decision? Was I applying my heart to wisdom? What was I thinking when I acted that way? What was I thinking when I reacted like that? Was I putting the right value in the right place? And that is one of the most important traits, as I said a little while ago, that we can pass on to our children, is putting the right value on the right things in life. What was I thinking? Now let me get back to my stories. Last Sunday I went to preach up in North Carolina, and I believe it was the providence of God that I was in Hendersonville, North Carolina at the time and the day that I was. When I got finished preaching and we got through eating, we drove back toward the interstate and went in to see my aunt, which is right off the interstate. We're on our way back home. I went in there to see her, and when we walked in the room, she's laying there with her eyes open, alert, just like she was waiting on us. She'd been drawn up, just would open her eyes, you know, to talk to you a little bit, and then just, I mean, it was just like an unbelievable, and I don't want to use the word coincidence, it was providence. Now the question is, what was she thinking? What was I thinking, but what was she thinking? You know what was important to her right then? She wanted my family to gather around her. She held her hands up, and I don't know who was on the other end. I was on this side of the bed. I held this hand, and I don't remember what order we were in as we went around the edge of the little bed there. But you know what she wanted? She wanted the girls to sing. And so my wife Ashley and Lindsay sang to her. And then she wanted me to pray before I left. Let me ask you something. Do you think she asked for $1 million? What good would $1 million do her? You think, I mean, of all of the things that she could have put value on, you know what was valuable to her? Hearing, I guess, her family sing the songs of the faith and praying and getting a hold of the Lord on her behalf. If that's what's important on her deathbed, if she was thinking, here's what really matters. When she's fixing to leave this world and face God, what should we be thinking? What if you backed up a year from then? I wonder if in her mind she was thinking the same thing then as she was when she was on her deathbed. I wonder if the value of things changed in that period of time. I wonder if the value of things, and the fact of the matter is, the value of things don't change. But the value that we put on things does change. And that's the point of what I'm trying to say this morning. We are putting value on things that are not, use the old mountain saying, not going to be worth a hill of beans when it's all said and done. But the value of those things does not change. It's just what we're thinking about them. And again, I'm not trying to open fresh wounds. But I heard that little 10-year-old girl sitting on the sidewalk outside the hospital yesterday, whose mama has gone on to be with the Lord. And I believe Mandy was a saved girl. But I heard her make this statement that's just almost haunted me through the night. What am I going to do? She just hollered that out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do to her daddy? That's what she said. Do you think she'd trade $1 million? What was she thinking? I tell you what she was thinking. She was putting the right value on the right things. She wasn't thinking about popularity, fortune, lands, houses. She was thinking about what was really important. Having somebody that you love, having somebody that you could tell, I love you. Somebody to hold you. Somebody to help you. I'm not trying to jerk tears this morning. I'm telling you, this thing is it troubles me that we live for such temporal things, that we put all our stock and all of our value on what people think and all this. I mean, it's just unto God. It's pathetic. And we could be gone like that. It's not wise. The things, as I said a few minutes ago, the things that we fuss over, the things that we divide over, the things that go on a lot of times that seem such a big deal. What are we thinking? If we were laying on our deathbed, those things wouldn't be a big deal. Those things that my mama did when I was growing up that made me mad, and I was ugly to her, and I went out, and maybe she shouldn't have done them. Maybe she was in the wrong. Do you think that matters to me now? Do you think that's important to me now? Do you think that means anything to me now? What are we thinking? What are we thinking now? We can't do anything about the past. But we can think right. We can say, God, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom that we might set the right value on the right things and make the right decisions from now on. You can look at your spouse today. They may not be here tomorrow. Say, I've heard that 1,000 times, but there's coming a time when it's going to be true. Nobody expects to outlive their children. I mean, nobody expects, to outlive their children. And yet there's a mom and daddy over there that outlived their child, and some of you have too. What are we thinking? What's really important? What's really valuable? When I see the heartache and the sorrow and the things that people are going through, and as I spoke of the individual that I've dealt with that was suicidal, what if we were like that today? What if we had that kind of problems and we were that to that point of the depth of despair? We got a lot to be thankful for today. We should have come in here this morning and said, Lord, I just want to thank you that I got up out of bed this morning. I just want to thank you that I could look at my wife or my child and just say, I love you today. You children should say, I just want to thank you, Lord, today for another day that I've got my daddy with me. And I've got my mama here. Because there's some that don't have them anymore. What are we thinking? What's really important? What are we trying to prove? We could be without hope today. In the depths of despair, without any hope, we've got a lot to be thankful for. When you make the decisions that you do, whatever they are, you better be careful what you're thinking. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Who's coming to the piano and their heads are bowed? What are we thinking? These are praying. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart today. What are we thinking? Is it really worth it? Thinking today. What are you thinking? And all of his love, if the pain of the rider could ride every day. What are we thinking
and
today?
Shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise a voice that can talk, hands that can praise, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I want to praise Him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed, a father and mother to nurture and raise, a brother and sister and memories made, a pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal and blood that can save. Oh, I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, and some gave it all for me to be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, that rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wing. Oh, He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
God has been good to us, so good. None of us deserve how good He's been to us. I just wish I could somehow express how moved I have been through these things. Anybody have anything for dismiss today? Amen. All right. All hearts and minds clear before we're dismissed today.
Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the reminder, Lord, of how short our time is and how valuable our friends and our loved ones, our family, our faith is so valuable. There's nothing more important. God, please, God, help us to number our days. And I pray that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom every day that we live, that we'd set the right value on the right things, that we would think right and do what would be pleasing in your sight. That, Lord, we would live today like we will wish we would live when we stand before you. And, Lord, for what you do now, Lord, before I even close, I pray that you'd comfort the loved ones of these family members that have died. Please, Lord, please, God, these that have died that I mentioned, I pray you'd comfort their family today. God, give them grace and give them the help that only you can. Lord, I have no idea what to say. What do you say? But, Lord, I know you can speak peace when nobody else can, and I pray you'd give them grace and help in this time of need. You'd help them to grow closer to you through this, Lord. Help them not to be bitter. But, God, I beg you, Lord, you'd touch them in a mighty way. And for what you do, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.